That's why you make it up. Ready?
He laughed at me one time. I had a 357.
I'd like to call this meeting to order of the Planning Commission Thursday, August 26, 2021. I'd like to excuse our chair, Member Ross, and also Member Stevens. And in his absence, Chairman Ross has asked if I would conduct the meeting. I've asked Member Little to offer invocation, after which we will have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy blessings for this community and the members who are here. We're grateful for the opportunities to serve and grateful for all the wonderful things that thou hast blessed us with. We pray for thy guidance and direction as we lead and try to understand what we need to do here. And we pray for thy spirit always. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have our agenda before us. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I have a motion by Member Bass.
I second.
And a second by Member Marley. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Any conflicts of interest with the agenda item? Seeing none, we'll move on. Our next agenda item is public comment. We just have one agenda item tonight, and it will have its own public hearing. So at this time, for public comment, if you have any comment relating to anything else you have a concern about that's not related to this agenda item, now would be your time, and we'd ask you to come up and state your name and give your comment. Okay, seeing none, we will move on to item number six. Discussion, public hearing, and decision on Nettleton future land use map amendment.
I'm Lance Evans, Planning Director. This is a request for a future land use map amendment in the general plan for 63 acres. It's located, here's the Cottonwoods Development, Silverleaf Drive, Wilkinson's Pond is here, and it's on a western-facing slope just above that. It's actually pretty close to Silverleaf and the other Cottonwood Development. This is just the first step in a much larger concept that the applicant will present a little more detail later, but we are looking at the request to modify this area from the future land use map, which is now designated as natural resources and recreation, to rural residential 5. And this is just as a reminder, The future land use map sets out land use designations for the entire county, for every piece of property. Natural resources and recreation, village low density, commercial, all types of different land uses. In an effort to lay out where we want to see things develop so we can have orderly development in the community. This was laid out in the 2010 general plan. And as everybody's aware, I'm sure we are updating the general plan now to take a reassess it. We try and do that every 5 or 10 years. And so that's what we're in the middle of that process now. And I'm just going to say on September 16th, the applicants or the we will have a presentation of all that information. And you'll see more information on that online and in the paper and such. But this application is for this 63 acres. And as staff looked at this and looked at the criteria for the rezoning and looking at the goals that are outlined in the general plan that we have today, we felt that it's a little premature to do it at this time. Our recommendation is to recommend denial of this future land use map amendment change. If we get specifically into the policies and criteria, we're looking at several items, but one is harmony with the general plan goals and the preservation of natural resources and encouraging residential development in cities and communities. So we're trying to preserve those natural resources. We're trying to control the development, not see it spread throughout the entire county. And we thought that this level of density at this location would do the opposite of that and don't feel that it is in harmony. The adjacent properties are, there's a lot of open space on the areas, but to add a 5-acre potential for 5-acre lots in this area on this slope would be significant impact and change to the character of the neighborhood or the area. And also, it would require significant facilities, utilities, roads, that type of thing to service this area. And there's some concern about, whether this is the right time to do this level of density. We got three letters from citizens. Two were concerned about growth, water resources, and just the expansion. One was for water resources and the expansion of the area, development to this area. The second one is similarly did not want to change to 63 acres. We need to concentrate development in the core area and not parse out more lots already planned that negate more natural recreation space. And then we got one letter of support that just said that the property owner really, it boils down to the property owner should have the right to develop this property and do what they want, that the restrictions in zoning are not going to cause any impact. And you have those letters. And you can move them. I think that's all I kind of have at this time. I know the applicant has a presentation they'd like to make. But is there any questions for staff?
Since we're updating the future land use map anyway, is there a mechanism for them to go through that versus sure. us?
Yeah, well, it would be on the September 6th meeting is going to be the first chance where that the general plan has been going on for 9-10 months now. And they've been accumulating data, looking at different land uses, looking at city, county policies, looking at the land use as we have now currently, the vision that we have, and what are our needs going forward. And all that's going to be presented in a high-level draft. You guys have seen parts of that, further refined on September 16th. So that would be the next opportunity where all this information will be presented and the community can weigh in and provide some direction. And then they'll take that community information and go back and actually finalize the draft based on that. And then that draft will go through the public hearing process.
Okay, any other questions for staff? Okay, we'll invite the applicant up. And Please state your name for the record.
So my name is Heidi Nettleton. I'm one of the owners of the land, and I'm here representing all the family members. I've quite some family members here. If you guys want to stand up, just so they can see, rather than having them. So we're actually, we're in ownership with 25 family members, spanning two generations. The land has been owned by our family for more than 90 years. And we've been good stewards of the land and good neighbors to those around us for all those years. We're here today and have submitted the FLUMA request to secure some potential building sites for the family. So we own a total of 2,050 acres that, actually, if the other map's gone. Can you go back to
that one? That one, actually.
That one's actually okay.
Did you want that one?
Not the, that one?
Yeah.
So we own just a little over 2,000 acres that currently goes, so here's the subject site, we're talking about the 60 acres. So the 2,000 acres goes up and then actually up here as well. So it's pretty much that entire view shed. So we've used the land mainly just small, you know, little bit of recreating, and mainly we've run sheep on it. And I guess we've run sheep on it since the 1930s, which is what my father told me last night. So we'd now like the ability to have some building life sites for the family. And we've identified this 63 acres here in question, and we've done some due diligence in regards to some minimal engineering as far as slopes and landslides, and you know, in regard to the adjacent land uses, access, elevation, the landslide areas, and we've taken into account our neighbors and the overall view shed. We have a couple of the neighbors here willing to speak on our behalf, and we've been good neighbors to and with them. The 63 acre parcel is only 3% of our entire acreage. So we're asking for a very small amount of space that we can do something with. We believe our request to modify the FLUMA is reasonable and, in fact, similar to the Cottonwoods Development Agreement proposed for this area. Again, this is only 3%, so 97% remains in the natural resources and preserves the view shed and the watershed area, which I do believe that it's in harmony with what you're trying to do to limit the spread up here. Before I turn the time over to Ray, who has some specific points to the response from the staff's recommendation, I'd just like to thank the Planning Council for hearing our request and ask that you approve it to give us the ability as private landowners to build on our land, which is really our legacy land. Two generations now, and it's almost getting to the next generation. So I thank you for your time. And Ray's going to get up and go over the maps with you.
Hi, my name is Ray Nettleton. I'm Heidi's husband. I'm just really glad that full parking lot wasn't here in this meeting right now. So anyway, just a couple things. For the record, we received the staff report only 48 hours ago. We submitted our paperwork on August 3rd, and frankly, we were surprised by the recommendation to deny. This didn't give us a lot of opportunity to respond to each and every item on that list. And also, for the record, there's a couple of factual errors on the staff report, and it's being treated more like a rezone request than a FLUMA general plan. That's our opinion. So on page 2, it says the current zoning is RR1 and RR20. It is, in fact, MU160. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And on also on page 2, the general plan designation is not rural residential 1, and agricultural is natural resource. Is that also?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Next, I'd like to address each of the three findings in the report. So the quote is that the proposed amendment is not in harmony with the general plan goals for preservation of natural resources or the encouragement of residential development in city and community centers. So we have this, I'll just kind of do a little bit of an overview. The legend here, you can't see it, but of course the colors are screwed up too. But normally you would see a dark green and then kind of cascades to this magenta. So the dark green is very flat, developable land, you know, as you see through, you know, much of the cottonwoods. And then, you know, the light green is also very acceptable. So actually, if you could drill into this section, maybe. Well, okay, actually, hold on for a second. So as Heidi said, over 97% of our land will remain in natural resources. Beyond this request, there's absolutely no other potential. We're not going to be coming back and nickel and diming and asking for more. You know, this area here, those are kind of historical landslides. You know, we would have to avoid those areas. And again, the darker colors here are steep. Most of this is steep, beautiful country. But, you know, there's some areas up here, but there's absolutely no way to get to them. So we won't be coming back and asking for more if this is a one-time deal. The second point is the MU-160 zone actually discourages residential development in cities and community centers. In theory, we could still put 5 residential lots on the southwest corner currently zoned as the MU-160 right here. So we could kind of spread those out if we really wanted to. By approving this FLUMA amendment, it is possible to reduce the roads and resulting impact by placing our family sites closer together. And I'll kind of show you that a little bit later. So finding 2, the proposed ranch residential 5 density is not consistent with the character of the adjacent property. Can you pull up the Google Maps? So, you know, I showed you the contours and the color coding and stuff like that. You know, this is the Google satellite overview, and it kind of shows, you know, what our neighbors have done, you know, as far as what's being farmed. This is very flat. This property looks exactly the same here, except it hasn't really been farmed recently. You know, just looking at the satellite overview, the farmer bought. He was on his own property because it looked the same. The fence was in the wrong spot, and they actually have been cultivating that ground. So again, it is the same type of ground as our neighbor. So again, we've confirmed that it's not in any historical slide zone. Granted, we have to do additional studies beyond that. We accept that. Just we're under the opinion that 10 years ago this was miscategorized, and we're asking for correction to that now. We didn't object to it earlier, we probably should have, but again, the land is similar to what is next to us. Would you mind pulling up the master plan document? Kind of more focused on the bottom. So I just kind of remind everyone that this is not a rezone request. This is a FLUMA request. We were asked to propose some scenarios or, you know, give some ideas, and we kind of advised, told, or whatever, that RR5 might be the appropriate zone. I'm not sure exactly what we want, based on some of the new information. But So the RR5 was hypothesized in order to give the family 6 to 10 potentially buildable lots, given the density of the 63 acres. So that's probably why we went with that RR5 zone. And again, that's hypothetical. At one time, there was consideration for some building on our property adjacent to Phase 9. So that's right here. So this is what's kind of already in the development agreement. You know, granted, it's conceptual, but they literally have roads dubbed into our property. So again, that's evidence. And they were going to make provisions so we could put a couple homes adjacent to that. You know, if you know, this is not 200 or 300 feet up the mountain. This is right adjacent to that already approved tentative development. So I wanted to make that clear. You know, in the document, you know, it talks about you know, the council, I suppose, you can approve or reject, and there's also the option to modify. And, you know, I'm a development rookie. I don't do this every day. So, you know, if we've done something or that with a little tweak, we, you know, you guys can accept it. Lance, you know, we would encourage your input. If you wouldn't mind bouncing that to the color map. So again, a little bit of a rookie mistake, maybe on my part, but you know, I kind of thought the future land use map, they wanted big blocky kind of square kind of things. You know, there's certain areas here, there's a draw here. You know, we'd be willing to exclude, and the, you know, this steep slidey area doesn't really do us any good. So, you know, if that would make you a little bit more comfortable, we'd be willing to, you know, sit down and discuss it so it's more acceptable. So, sorry to bounce that. Let me see here. All right, going to finding three, the proposed development will require additional facilities and services that will require significant development. This is true of any development. The developer is responsible to figure this out and pay for infrastructure required. This should not have much of a bearing on the FLUMA request and can be better addressed in any future subdivision design if we ever get to that phase. So I'd like to table some of those objections to a more appropriate time if possible. So the next couple items are kind of an appeal to any community members that might have some concerns. So just I'd like you to recognize that our proposed development is absolutely minuscule in compared to what is already approved in phases 6, 7, 8, and 9. 99% of our property will remain virtually undisturbed by any rendition of our development. Your viewshed and watershed is safe. No one needs to feel threatened by this. The family has always been good stewards to the land for the last 90 years. We want to prevent rampant ATV use, additional cutting of roads, harassment of wildlife. We want to maintain the open sheep grazing tradition without new fences. We want to keep trespassers from starving brush fires on our land, which has already happened with a couple of very close calls. In order to do this, we need to be closer. Frankly, no member of our family can afford to pay the going rate of $290,000 for a quarter lot. This is our land. you know, we should have the, some basic rights to build on it, and whatever we do, we're going to do in a classy way. So just wanted to make that clear. Now, we have a letter from Chad Edgerton. He's our done our tenant sheep farmer for the last 20 years, and we have absolutely no intention of changing that. That's a really pretty thing. If you go up there and you watch the shepherds, you know, herding the sheep around and the dogs working and stuff, that's all. It's going to stay the same. So by approving this request or a slightly revised request, the planning council is not guaranteeing any development rights. There would still need to be a rezone of the same area and then the subdivision design development phase. So if you approve it today, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's one step out of three major steps. You know, if there's legitimate concerns from the citizens around us, you know, we can probably take care of it during that time. We are in discussions with neighbors to potentially swap land areas for something easier to build on. This is a high probability that this land will never be built on, as our neighbors desire to keep it natural and as a buffer to their limited farm center estates. And Ted, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but my understanding is the 125 homes that were designated to go in phase 9, they want nothing to do with it, and they're kind of looking more like 4 or 5 family estates.
Yeah, we don't want to develop.
Okay, so we're totally cool with that. I mean, that should alleviate a lot of the density concerns for that side of the mountain. We'd like to work with them to make that nice and very low key. The family has been approached by other developers to install buried water tanks and open reservoirs on our property. The reservoir would capture valuable spring runoff for use in the cottonwoods. We're amenable to trading land with them for other land or easements access to our properties, but there are so many unknowns, it's difficult to advance this work. Some certainty in regards to the future land use would help everyone involved and the general community. You know, as we've watched the development get closer and closer, our options get smaller and smaller. I mean, we literally can't even approach our property from certain points that we used to. We can potentially get blocked off, and it's a problem. So, the more certainty we have, the better we can plan with our neighbors. We can, we can work through some community problems, but we need a little bit of certainty, because this is always the first step in development. And again, this is not huge. You know, we said 6 to 10 lots in that general vicinity. Again, we might trade Mr. Taylor and put those elsewhere. But we'd like the ability to police our own borders, and frankly, several of us would love to build our dream homes on that property. So that's all I really have. To you guys have any questions for me or Heidi or anyone here? We have to try and field.
Anyone have? Member Wilson?
I had one question for you, Ray. I heard Lance, when he made his presentation for the county, say this is the first part of a larger plan. Do you care to address that? What's he saying?
Yeah. The absolute maximum, again, this area here is currently F1 forestry. You can't really do much. But again, there's a potential for maybe 1, 2, 3 home sites, in which case you would just, on a technical nature, because they require a 160-acre lot, you would draw some kind of lot line going back there. But the way we would manage it as a family, they might have a lot line, but it would be, we were not going to fence it off. It would not be allowed by our covenants for any family member or whatever. So again, that land is going to be the same. It's going to look the same regardless if there's, 1 or 2 home sites right on the periphery.
Okay.
And again, the way the urban fire stuff, you cannot have any home site greater than 1,000 feet from a public road. So it basically, from the center line of a public road, that you start to measure. So we're not going to go deep or up the hill. We just can't. It's just it's not safe. It's uneconomical. It's you know, there's lots of reasons. So you don't have to worry about shining houses up on the hill.
So when you talk about the 6 or 10 lots that you're proposing right now, you're in essence saying with the overall development you would create additional home sites for them based on the 160-acre?
Potentially. You know, frankly, some of those sites that we've kind of identified are pretty marginal. They're not the prettiest area. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. You know, I think what's in the packet is, you know, would be an absolute worst case. And again, I would pretty much eliminate several of those right off the bat because they're just not a pretty home site. But it is a potential. And that would, you know, I don't want to get rattled on something because that's a separate discussion for another day. But.
Well, if I understood you correctly, you were saying you were coming in for this development. You weren't going to do anything else. That's why I was curious what else you had in mind.
Oh, yeah, no, I said we're not going to go for another land use change because it's already natural resources. It's a different designation. Help me out. We're not gonna ask for. This is the only time we're gonna ask for a land use
change.
Not necessarily rezone, but we're at no case would we ever ask for a rezone of less than 160 acres in that other areas. We don't know what the market is. We're just trying to leave our options open, but we won't be coming back and asking you to let us subdivide that any smaller. It'll be huge, unpartitioned interest, if anything at all.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions to the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Does the commission want to go into the public hearing first before our discussion?
I vote yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to go into public hearing for item number 6.
Okay, I have a motion by Member Bass.
I second.
A second by Member Merrily. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now's the time for the public hearing regarding this application. So if you'd like to say something, please come up and say your name for the record.
There was a sign-up sheet, and there's a sign-up sheet that people have signed for today.
Thank you, Tina. You don't really need to sign up. We will. Is it sign-up sheet or roll or both?
Well, there's a roll, but I think
okay.
Usually the only thing that is sign-up sheet.
Yeah. Well, Heidi's already... And Ray, you've already talked.
We weren't sure if we had to sign
it. No.
Yeah.
We have an Alicia. Yeah. Well, your family... Okay, and Tina.
I said there were other people.
Thank you.
Tina Kelly, Mountain Green. I am a big proponent of property rights and being able to do what you want to do on your property. I've sat in the audience before. I was on the county council, and I would state my concerns, and all of the subdivisions in Mountain Green, Whisper Ridge, Rollins Ranch, Cottonwoods, and all of their phases were all passed prior to my being on council, and I had spoken in each one of those of concerns that I had for the growth going on in our area. And this is a future land use map amendment request. It is the first step if you want to go, if you want to rezone and it's not already recommended to use that property in that manner, then you have to request a land use map amendment. And that's what this is. And I've read the applicant's letter and I've listened to their intent and I have great respect for them. But when you're doing a future land use map amendment, and I think you guys know this, but I just want to reiterate it, you have to think of what that means for that piece of property, individual of what the applicant says they're going to do. Because when you put that on as a future amendment, a future zone, then when somebody comes forward with a rezone request for that and you grant it, it is granted all the rights of the zone that you're granting, so the RR5 and the RR10. And that's important to think about, not just what somebody says they'll do, but what somebody can do in the future. And we've looked at the land use map frequently. You're looking at it again. It's not recommended to go into that area, and I have concerns about expanding the use, even though it is adjacent to residential. All the concerns I have then that have created problems along the way for the community, lack of water, I read about septic tanks, and those will all come at that rezone request, but those are things that concern me. We already are dealing with the issues of the rezones that were passed prior to 2006. And the town center has had one rezone since then, and that made sense because it was the town center and it was a property that brings economic development possibilities to the county for tax purposes. So all I'm saying is consider this deeply with the uses that are potentially there, not what somebody says that they'll put there, the potential uses down the road, and whether or not those are good uses for the community and the property. And I say this respectfully to the applicant, I don't disrespect your rights, but those rights are the rights that you acquired the property with. Thank you.
Anybody else?
My name is Ciara Oxier. I don't actually know the Nettletons, but I'm a resident of the Cottonwoods and just recently moved here probably like a year ago. And I've seen the sign up as I've been walking by, and I was kind of curious just to see what it was all about, so I decided to come check it out. But after hearing all of this, I kind of wanted to speak in support of this. I think also listening to the planning commissioner, I'm not sure if that's your title or not. Was it? Planner. Okay. So one of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, a lot of this is open space and we get to, you know, enjoy it and around here. But like, it's not like we can use their property right now. So like it wouldn't change, I don't think, for any of us who live there. And talking about wanting to keep, I don't know, the U shed, is that what it's called? I imagine. I much prefer the idea of bigger lots that have, you know, natural yards or pretty yards compared to like really dense housing like that's already been approved over there. And, you know, with all the stuff that's already been approved right next door, I don't see how 6 to 10 more houses is really going to make that big of a difference. And obviously with the utilities and everything that needs to be brought in really close, and also I would assume isn't really something to worry about because it has to be taken care of by most developers, so I'm sure that would bear the brunt of the cost. I guess I don't know how it works with the county or and then, let's see, I also liked the idea of letting locals stay here and being able to live on the land that their families have owned forever and, you know, I'm sure had bought with the intention that their families would be able to have access to that and be able to live there just like they did. And, you know, we all know what's been happening to house prices, and I think it would be wrong to price locals out of the market and, I don't know, be too exclusive that so many people have to leave and not be able to live in the place where they grew up, because I think that's really what helps the heart of the community is, you know, the people who have lived here forever and you know, have those great bonds and that community feel. That's one of the things that we've noticed as we've lived here, and everyone is just so nice and welcoming, and everyone knows everyone, and, you know, sometimes they'll be like, oh, are you related to this person? And I'm not, but I love that idea that it's that small town feel, and everyone kind of looks out for each other. So anyway, I just wanted to speak in support of them.
Thank you.
Mark Wilkinson. My land is not right neighbor to him, but pretty close. But for the last 80 years, we've been neighbors. Before these kids were born, I was playing on their ground. They've been great neighbors. We've been able to access that property anytime we wanted, and they've been great neighbors, and I figured that they'll be great neighbors if they build a home on there. So I don't have any problem with it. I don't, because I like I say, they have been great neighbors. Thank you.
Anyone else?
If I may talk to a couple of the points that So again,
not now.
Oh, sorry. Or is that my rookie?
Public have any more comments?
I move we go out of public hearing.
Okay, a motion to go out by Member Bass. Do I have a second?
Second it.
Second by Member Little. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Is the commission ready for a discussion?
Sure.
Okay.
Lance, can you go over the difference between a rezone and the future land use amendment?
So the future land use map, which is what's being requested to be amended, lays out general designations. Natural resources and recreation. Not very specific. It lists out, you know, a certain level of density, a high level of types of uses. The rezone is an implementation, or the zoning districts are specific criteria. How big is the lot? What's the setbacks? What are the road requirements? What's the density? It's a lot more specific. So this request is just to change the general use of this property. From natural resource and recreation to rural residential plaza.
And where do those suggestions come from?
So they're all in the general plan. The general plan lists out all these different types of designations, what these areas should look like as we go forward, and we use them almost all the time on different developments to ensure that the vision of the community is being met. So it's in the general plan. The general plan has these land use designations and then a lot of goals and policies of how we want to see things implemented. And like I said, we have Morgan County.
Okay, so the applicant mentioned that the land is similar, but not the zoning. Is he specifically talking about the future land use? Like, yeah, the land looking at it is similar. You couldn't tell from one field to another. But more specifically, it should be the future land use designation that's different than the neighboring, right?
Correct. So here's the future land use map. And this is Cottonwoods. And to clarify, when I said open space, Cottonwoods has denser development with open space areas surrounding it. So that's what, and its general plan or future land use designation is village low density. Okay, so it's going to develop at, I want to say, half-acre lots or smaller. And then you throw in a development agreement with that, which the overall density is about half-acre
two dwelling units per acre. Sorry, this is yours. Whereas the future land use map for this area is the natural resources and recreation. Much lower density, one unit per 160 acres, if you can, and then it gets implemented with the zone. This green area down here is agricultural, so they're one unit per 20 acres would be the development density there if they developed in that. And you can see just a few more. This is rural residential, 1 acre. This is commercial, public facility. So these are kind of some of the different land uses in this area. And it's used by communities to kind of make a logical assumption that if we're going to build a road here, we're going to put houses on here, we can keep that infrastructure together. That keeps our costs down and keeps the taxes down so we don't have everything too spread out. These are all development choices and part of that community vision that's set out in the general plan.
Do we have any idea where the current, well, where the general plan we're working on is headed in, like the direction it's headed on, specifically in this area?
It is not proposed for any change, but we're still in that process. So it's still, the meeting on the 16th that I mentioned, September 16th, will be the time for the community to say, yeah, no, you guys still have this as national resources and recreation. Really, we should do a little more density there, or not. Maybe, but we're going to say, hey, we want to see this agriculture area to go to natural resource and recreation. There's a lot of choices and discussion there. It's a relatively complex document when you start to think about all the different parts to it.
Okay, so let's say that it gets amended. What are the opportunities or options from there on out? Like, what could happen to that land?
So with the new general plan? Or with tonight's amendment?
Let's say, tonight, because if it got amended tonight, it would fall under this general plan's rules, not the new one, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But we would have to factor that into the new general plan. So if it changes today, and just to clarify the process, this is the Planning Commission. They're going to make a recommendation to the County Commission. The County Commission makes the final determination. So if this change happened, we would want to make sure that we got it in the new general plan as for this discussion.
Okay, just one second.
Okay. Our decision will be whether to recommend or not.
So talking about the new future land use map, so I think you said that, you know, the residents show up and say we want this to be such and such. Is that more the landowners who show up, or is it like the entire community? And it's actually probably outside the purview of a future land use amendment, but I mean, this is, I've had other people ask this question too, so.
Yeah, no, it's we are looking at everything with the new general plan. Are we going in the right direction based on the population changes that are happening, the demographic changes that are happening? Where do we want to go as a community in 20 years? That's what the general plan is getting at. What do we want to see change? What do we want to see not change? We've had a public process where we've had several online opportunities to do it, to weigh in and give feedback. We have a consultant firm that's doing it. And they are, they did focus groups with numerous property owners, different entities, the school district, that type of thing. And then they also did a survey to the community to get that, also get an opportunity to weigh in. And they're taking all that information and saying, based on everything we're hearing, based on this plan that you have now, it's important to point out, based on the area plans that are in the appendix of this plan, based on all this that's going on and the population changes, this is our recommendation to you guys. And that's what we're going to look at on the 16th. And that's the time for the community to weigh in and say, all right, that's wrong, that's close, but really I'd rather see it here. It'll be an opportunity for discussion. Ultimately, that they'll hear it out. It's not going to be a, I want to change, and it's going to change. They'll then weigh all those comments. There will be a lot that are conflicting. And then it will come to you guys for a recommendation to the county commission who will adopt a new general plan. And hopefully that will happen before the end of the year. So, that's your question.
So that's it. It is fully community-driven and expert-driven, but it's not solely driven by landowner requests, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's, you own the property. In a lot of places outside of Utah and outside of Orange County, property rights, yeah, they're important, but, you know, here, Morgan County is very property rights-oriented, and it's an important part of that.
And I do believe the general plan is looking at putting in the flexible subdivision for the clustering. And this part, this landowner would be an ideal candidate to be able to utilize the clustering option, where you could take the density that it has on the property that it is entitled to, cluster those homes down, and they'd probably get the same effect as what they're trying to do now. But if you just had the flexible tools to allow them to do that. And I know the general plan is, there's been discussions and the need for that flexible subdivision maybe to come back.
So as we discussed, that would actually help minimize like road impact. There'd be less roads to maintain.
Correct.
Because the houses would be closer together.
Right. They would take the total density on all the parcels they own and cluster it down to one area.
Does that also include, like, sharing wells?
You could still have five-acre lots. You could still cluster down to five-acre lots or one-acre lot or whatever.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to jump in, and if I could clarify a little bit, because I think there's some miscommunication assumptions, and obviously I got stuff wrong in the staff report. That's my fault. Sorry about that. So unfortunately, when we look at an application, and when I say we, the planning staff looks at an application, we have to say, all right, the request is for 63 acres to change from natural resources recreation to RR5. If that whole thing changes, what is the impact? And we made our recommendation based on that. And what we're hearing tonight is, well, we don't really necessarily want all that. What we want is a much smaller piece. And I build on conversations and other conversations I have with Ray about overall concepts that we were discussing for the properties. And anyway, so there might have been a little miscommunication there. So if they're looking for a much smaller area, then that's a different, you know, it could be analyzed differently. But we have to take, as Tina Kelly said, we have to look at worst-case scenarios. If those 63 acres all went to five-acre lots, that's the... And this is the first step in the process, is do we do that on the future land use map? And when we make that decision here, then the rezone request comes in, and we get another look at it, but if we just changed it on the future land use map, why would we get inconsistent to start switching? And so, unfortunately, we have to look at it as worst-case scenario. What if this all developed into five-acre lots? Because that's essentially the vision we're setting out for this property. And so that's where you get that. And it's, what I'm hearing is there's a lot more flexibility from the developer, the applicant. And that ties into the PUD ordinance, the Planned Unit Development Ordinance, where if we could cluster and get some flexibility. That was removed from the zoning ordinance years ago, and we're working on getting that back in so that we can have some flexibility. And that allows us to go into a lot more detail of how development happens rather than just a blanket over 63 acres. And that's a win-win for everybody. They get 10 lots. We don't develop 63 acres. It reduces costs for everybody. And there's a win-win. So, but we have to look at this application as the 63 acres.
As it is.
Just so you know.
So we don't have PUDs, but we have development agreements. Would this be?
It could. Development agreements, way more complex than just a PUD, and so it's depending on how much you want to develop, it can be a very expensive process. Well, it's an expensive process regardless, but if you're only doing a few acres, it's kind of tough.
Okay. Do you have, probably shouldn't, do you have a time frame for the PRUD? Are we looking 9 months out?
Yeah.
Best case?
Best case, 6 months. You've got to get it done. It's hard to make better priority when you've got applications coming in. So that's just a lame excuse. We've got to get it done.
I have a question. Why is the applicant Morgan County Cottonwoods?
As the property owner.
That's their LLC.
The property owner.
Correct. So that's separate than the Cottonwoods.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, so we have the name.
Okay.
Just add to the confusion.
County Cottonwoods LLC is the entity that encompasses the 25 families.
Okay. Any questions to the applicant or to staff or discussion?
One more clarification. They mentioned, Ray, I think you mentioned something about your talk to Ted. He's here.
Ted Taylor.
And the phase 9 for Cottonwoods, is that not going forward as?
No, not in that development.
Okay.
Okay, we're.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Phase 9 does have that entitlement.
Sure.
We haven't seen an application, so we don't know what will happen. But yeah, that entitlement is still there.
120. Okay.
Phase 9, yeah.
Steve had something he was going
to
say.
Does Steve?
Oh, it's not really pertinent to tonight's discussion, but I'm curious nonetheless, just from my curiosity, how far away is that from an existing road, existing water, existing electricity?
I believe I measure, it's not even, it's like 700, 800 feet from the, and I'm assuming that there's utilities, water lines, sewer lines in Silver Lake. Can't you still here? No. Anyway, so assuming that there's water and sewer lines in with these subdivisions on Silverleaf, it wouldn't be less than 1,000 feet.
The height of it's like 2,000 feet, isn't it? I mean, it's like if I looked at the dimensions.
That much between Silverleaf and the property.
Yeah, so if you're looking at the height of that the site, it's like 2,000 something feet. So you can see how close it is to that road. It's fairly close to the if the utilities are running along the road.
Two more questions for you. Who owns the ground where the road would come across? Is that, do they own the Middletons on that?
I'd have to look to be sure. I believe this would be Cottonwoods.
The PUD, the homeowners.
And I didn't notice until just now, but it looks like it's in the airport overlay zone.
It is, but so is all the another 10 people saying that I don't want your planes flying over.
And they're over here, so everything.
Or I love those planes flying
over. You got 5 hours.
Either way.
Okay, so where I'm sitting is when we consider the worst-case scenario after amending the future land use map and the current land use map how it is, the proposed application does not meet what our land use map is right now. That's not to say that after September and our new land use map and general plan get put into place that it might fit better, but right now, according to our maps, it does not fit. So that's
as I see, we can recommend approval, recommend denial. There's also the possibility of a postponement while the general plan is being worked on and updated, and maybe the PRUD ordinance that could benefit this application.
Okay.
if the applicant so chooses.
You wouldn't be able to postpone it for 6 months, though, could you?
If you guys postponed it, yeah, we could, actually.
I guess is that a question for the applicant if they want
right.
that to be
Right, because if we recommend denial and the county commission denies, they will have to pay to make another application.
Have to start over again.
Right. Postponement keeps it alive.
That's true. And maybe in 3 months we would know a lot more information about the future general plan and discussions we can have there. Get more clarity on what's being proposed and get it a little more focus and sharpen that, so to speak.
Well, and where you had said that there is a win-win somewhere, it's just not right now.
Well, but right now we don't have the tools either.
Yeah.
We don't have the tools. Yeah.
So wait for the tools to get the win-win. Well, if that's with that discussion, I guess I would propose that we postpone it.
Recommend.
Instead of just...
Do we want to ask the applicant if that would be...
Maybe the applicant, Ray, would you like to come up?
Yeah, I've got a
come up and
list of a couple just the items. There's not really an order to report for that I wrote down. I heard septic tanks being a concern. So if we cluster and it works out with the sewer, we would gladly tie in. If we got one lot, 1,000 feet away from anything else, a septic tank is good. Septic tanks, the benefit of the septic tank is you put water in a septic tank and it recharges the aquifer. If you put water in the sewer, it goes to the Weaver River and you don't have any secondary use of it. So septic tanks are not always bad. Again, I want to reiterate our willingness and desire to revise and tweak it at your worst case scenario. And there's a couple areas we could easily strike from there, and that would that kind of minimizes the risk for what you might potentially approve. We're a little bit rookies. The RR5/R10, if there's a better land use that would allow us to do those 6 to 10 lots in a cluster, we would love that. It's very confusing for us, and I apologize. So, the family's owned the land since 1930. None of this planning business happened. I really applaud what you guys do and consider, and it's hard. I just really believe that this little piece was just miscategorized 10 years ago. It's a small piece. You guys nailed it for the rest of the site. It looks great. We're on board with it. But this is a little bit of it. I just think it was overlooked. And we really don't want to wait 6 months. We've got some very difficult negotiations with the planning names. Well, Mr. Ruling Gardner is making our life very difficult. And some certain...
It's everybody's life difficult.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so frankly, he's suing the little guy, so it's never fun to get sued.
So you do not want to entertain a postponement while we work on a PRUD ordinance?
Correct, yeah. Again, we're on board with...
I think we need to maybe discuss that.
Just
a minute.
We can postpone it. That gives them time to decide what they're going to do. But it also doesn't kill it, and it doesn't...
And they could bring it back.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would say, because it is a big deal...
It is big.
...to make this change, and there is public notice out there, to make sure the community has the opportunity to weigh in, I would postpone it to a specific day, 30 days from now, or if you guys want more than 30 days, you could do that. That way we know when it's coming back, and the public has the opportunity to know when it's coming back.
And they could decide if they want...
To postpone it longer till...
When we do that with subdivisions, it's not too big a deal. They already have the entitlements. We're just working on details. But on a future land use map amendment, the public's read that sign, said, oh, they're discussing it. If we postpone it too long, then we really should renotice it, give the public the opportunity. So that's why I'm recommending 30 days or 45 days or something like that specific, so that the public is aware that this is when I can come back and discuss it additionally if I want. Because it is a public hearing process, and that's, it's, we've got to give that a little more weight.
We would be told, yeah, 30 days is you know, something we can live with. 6 months is it would be difficult. I don't think we could.
It would be September 23rd. And that would give the family a chance to put their heads together and be on the same page.
See what we're going to go to next, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Any more discussion?
I don't.
Madam Chairman?
Yes?
I move that we postpone definitely item number 6, the Nettleton-Fluma amendment, to September 23rd.
Okay, I have a motion by Member Bass. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Wilson. Any discussion on that motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is the Planning Commission training work session, and you're all welcome to watch us be trained. A little late for your application, but... Oh, I don't know.
So we're going back to the future with PRUDs now.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, Debbie. I'm just thinking worst case scenario of everything developed. What would it look like? Anyways, I just want to clarify. But
No, that's fine. No.
We can't guarantee us anything.
Once you get the entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is whatever you do for them, you're hoping to do it for everyone else.
Yeah. Right, you have a landowner just above them, very large parcel.
Yeah.
That would probably want the same designation. It's, but yeah, I think they'd be able to accomplish what they need to with that flexible with the PRUD, the same amount of homes they want.
I mean, they could put one cabin per 100 acres, and if they cut it up just right, they could achieve the exact same thing, because they could put 20 homes in there if they just have the exact right flag line.
Yep, exact one now.
We don't want to push people into flag lots either.
Well, Golden Hills, there was a proportion, right? I mean, it was...
Yeah, we don't want that. No. Yeah. That's.
There are other tools in the quiver.
There, yes.
So I think it's arrows in the quiver.
Arrows?
But tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, tools in
the
toolbox, yep.
Yeah, and in total of 8 minutes.
So. Oh, 8 minutes?
And the one that wanted it or needs it is not here.
Oh, trust me, he's going to have to do double the training.
16 minutes.
I decided that's your penalty.
Okay.
You're not here for training, you have to do double time.
Or we have it at our next meeting and he does it by himself.
Yeah, there we go.
We watch.
The agenda hasn't been posted for the next meeting, so
for
that.
What?
I don't know. You know, I was kind of on board a little bit until Steve said, well, I heard you were talking to him about
there's
the
something
next
you could have, and this isn't one.
You just
yes,
you're
definitely
not
one.
Okay.
Way off the reservation.
Yeah, okay.
See, I had
had a piece of toast in Rawlins, Wyoming, and I got this rash from a piece of toast.
A piece of toast.
Probably barley. I'm allergic to barley, oats, penicillin, cow dairy, not beef, that'd kill me. Felt.
Felt?
So, like, if you're wearing, felt.
I'm allergic to polyester, so.
I don't know. But if I get it on my skin, I get
wool?
These rashes.
Wool, like, it true felt stops. Wool, but.
I'm not allergic to anything.
So are you allergic to sheep
milk? Sheep milk is fine, and so is goat milk, and camel milk is fine. And if you ever want, like, the grossest...
Acrylic or wood-based rayon.
Ooh.
If you're allergic to that.
Am I?
Apparently.
If
you get a rash from a dog.
Okay.
You what?
I don't know.
And if I work with drywall, all the gypsum from the drywall, but I think that's pretty common for people. Yeah, from gypsum.
Okay, so
are you ready?
Are you doing the training? Who's doing?
No,
we just have to watch the video.
We just have to watch the video.
And then you guys need to take the course, whether you do it here now or you do it when you get home. But send me your certification. After you're done.
Yeah.
And this is for the 2022
year, this year,
right?
For 2021.
We're almost done with 2021.
Thought, you have to do your training by the end of the year.
I thought I sent it to you already.
I've sent you a certificate.
So, I've gotten two certificates.
Who?
I believe it was you, and I believe you.
Yeah, I sent it.
No one else has sent
it. Of course.
So, it's in the mail.
I sent it.
It's in the mail?
Yeah.
So let's start.
The intro web.
If it's 8 minutes, let's start.
The intro web.
Dustin Lives His Life by the philosopher Mediocrities.
Yeah, Mediocrities.
Yeah. If you wait till the last second, it only takes a second.
Did you lose your tablet?
Yeah.
Someone picked it up.
Oh,
and I think they're out there. I think they're still in the hall.
We need sound.
Pause. Hold on.
See, I can give this training. I've done it so many times. This is the Open Public Meetings Act of Utah from 1947, as amended in 2019.
Oh, sounds like Chris has given us our...
Yep. I don't know what yours they were passed.
Are you going to do audio then, Chris?
Huh?
Do the audio for us?
Sure. There's a satellite up there for no apparent reason.
Here comes the tech guy.
Stock graphics.
This speaker?
Yeah.
Okay. And how do I do that?
Well,
that's perfect.
So what's considered an open and public meeting?
Let's start.
Is it
a little louder.
I wasn't sure if that was the volume that was.
Can it turn up more?
So what's the Open and Public Meetings Act? It's the state law that ensures government actions and deliberations are openly conducted. Before we continue, keep in mind that this video is an overview, and exceptions may exist based on your entity type. So what's considered an open and public meeting? It's when a governing body majority meets to discuss or act upon government business. It includes the meetings sometimes referred to as workshops or executive sessions. Regular meetings, public hearings, electronic meetings, and emergency meetings are all open and public meetings. Open and public meetings don't include chance or social meetings. A public hearing is a type of open and public meeting where citizens have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Public hearings happen when a government adopts a budget or imposes or increases taxes or fees. An electronic meeting is a type of open and public meeting that's convened electronically, such as via phone or the internet. Remember, the governing body must adopt a resolution, rule, or ordinance allowing and governing electronic meetings. An open and public meeting may be closed to discuss any of the following: a person's character, competence, or health, security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, collective bargaining, litigation,
best terms, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information per the Utah Procurement Code, including trade secrets. Two-thirds of the governing body need to vote yes to close a meeting. Quick math lesson. 2 divided by 3 equals 66.7%. Let's say your governing body has 5 members. If 3 out of the 5 members vote yes, that equals 60%, which is not equal to or greater than 66.7%, which means you're 1 member short and instead need 4 out of 5 members to vote yes. During a closed meeting, a governing body can't interview someone applying to fill an elected position, discuss filling a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, discuss the character, competence, or health of a person whose name was submitted for consideration to fill a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, or approve any ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment. If a closed meeting is discussing a person's character, competence, or health, or security, personnel, devices, or systems deployment, no recording or minutes are required. However, the presiding member needs to sign a sworn written statement stating such. If the closed meeting is held for any other reason, a recording must be made. Emergency meetings may be held to discuss an urgent matter due to unforeseen circumstances. In order to hold the meeting, the best notice that's feasible is provided of the time, location, and topics to be considered. An attempt is made to contact all governing body members, and the governing body majority approves the meeting. Entities that hold regular meetings need to provide notice at least annually of the year's meeting schedule. As always, the notice must include date, time, and place. For entities that don't hold regularly scheduled regular meetings, 24 hours notice must be provided. All meetings, whether regularly scheduled in advance over the course of the year, or scheduled as needed, must provide no less than 24 hours notice of meeting agendas. If a public hearing is held, public notice requirements change. Make sure to distinguish between regular meeting notice requirements and public hearing notice requirements. For regular meetings, an entity is only required to notify a newspaper and doesn't need to pay to publish a notice. For public hearings, notice must be published in at least one issue of a newspaper. If a newspaper of general circulation isn't available, written notice is posted in 3 public places within the entity's boundaries. Regular meetings require 24 hours notice. Public hearings require 7 days notice. For both regular meetings and public hearings, written notice must be posted at the principal office of the governing body, or, if no such office exists, at the building where the meeting will be held. Governing bodies must also provide notice of open and public meetings on the Public Notice website at publicnotice.utah.gov. By posting on the website and providing the email of the local newspaper, governing bodies can also meet the requirement to notify a newspaper. However, other requirements, such as publishing in a newspaper, still apply. Typically, posting on the public notice website is done by the records officer, recorder, or clerk. However, it's the governing body's responsibility to ensure notice is provided. State Archives has prepared a training manual and quick guide for owners of posters, as well as training videos that can be accessed at their website at archives.utah.gov. If your entity is increasing a fee, or undergoing truth in taxation for a property tax increase, be aware that there are additional notice and posting requirements. Public meeting agendas need to include reasonably specified topics to be considered, with each topic listed under a separate agenda item on the meeting agenda. The governing body may not consider a topic in an open meeting that wasn't on the agenda. If a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during that meeting. Meeting minutes and an audio recording are required for all open meetings, with limited exceptions. When an open or closed meeting is required to be recorded, it must be unedited and contain all portions of the meeting. Recordings of open meetings must be made available within 3 days. Every entity needs to establish procedures for the governing body's approval of minutes. Pending minutes are written minutes prepared in draft form and are subject to change before being approved by the governing body. Pending minutes must contain a clear indication, such as a draft or pending watermark, that the governing body hasn't yet approved the minutes and that they're subject to change. Pending minutes must be made available within 30 days. Approved minutes are written minutes of a meeting that have been approved by the governing body. Approved minutes are the official record of the meeting and must be made available within 3 business days. Whoever is responsible for taking the minutes during meetings, typically the records officer, recorder, or clerk, needs to be familiar with what OFMA requires be contained in the minutes. When a governing body closes a meeting, the following must be publicly announced and entered into the minutes of the open meeting at which the closed meeting was approved. The reason or reasons for holding the closed meeting, the location where the closed meeting will be held, and the vote of each member of the governing body, either for or against the motion to close the meeting. The recording and any minutes must include the date, time, and location of the meeting, the names of the governing body members present and absent, and the names of all others present, except where disclosure would infringe on the confidentiality necessary to fulfill the original purpose of closing the meeting. For more information, access our local government resource center at resources.auditor.utah.gov.
That was so good. Thank you.
We're good, educated now. Mm-hmm.
Nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
We should have counted how many times they unlocked the key. The key unlocked the lock.
Yep.
I really like that.
If we do this together, does that count?
We can go for the answers.
Don't we have to have our own certification?
Oh.
We have to take a test for ourselves.
Well, let's... Let's just.
It's not ethics training. I think we can do it as a group.
Just go.
All right, let's do it.
I'm kidding.
Well, no, we might. No, let's go over the questions. There's only a few questions.
Well, you're gonna.
That'll help.
Cooperate to graduate, Lance.
So read it. Okay, first question.
A governing body is required to provide a member of the public the opportunity to speak during an open meeting.
True or false?
True.
No. No, you don't have to. A public hearing, but not all public meetings.
Public comment.
We don't have to have public comment.
Oh, we don't?
No. Nope.
We did.
Do you know who suggested we have public comment and one of the doctors?
No, but you do.
I did.
True or false?
I would say.
It has to be unanimous vote. True or false?
And what was the question again? You're required. No. Is that what it says?
Required, yeah.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Next question.
An audio recording is not required for an open meeting.
True or false?
False.
False.
Which of the following is not a justification for closing a meeting?
Oh. It's not. Okay.
I can't read those.
To discuss.
Oh, thank you.
That's better. A, B, C, or D?
I can't read them.
Okay.
To interview a person.
To discuss the character, competence, or health of an individual, to hold investigative proceedings regarding allegations of criminal misconduct, to interview a person applying to fill an elected position, to discuss pending or reasonably...
Imminent litigation.
C. The governing body may limit the amount of time a person has to speak at a public hearing.
True.
False.
True.
True. Can limit?
You can, because if you have like 1,000 people that want to talk, you can say only get 30 seconds each.
Okay, what does it say? A governing body may...
Limit the amount of
limit
time
the amount, okay.
A governing body must ensure that notice of a public hearing is published in the newspaper, even if the newspaper requires the entity to pay for the publication.
True. May. No, just a minute. A public hearing. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Public hearings have to... Well, the law has changed.
It's changed.
They need to update this.
According to the video, the answer
yes.
True.
Legislature just updated the...
You can just go to the website now, right?
Yeah.
The state website?
Yeah.
My gosh, 100%.
Thanks, we're so
guys.
Smart.
Print that off and I'll sign it.
That's mine.
Oh.
Okay. All done.
Sorry. And you already sent the link to do the certificate thing?
What?
You already sent the link to do the certificate?
No,
okay. I have a question. Are we done with training?
We're on to staff and business.
Okay, I have a question. I am wondering why we, well, not we, I was not here, but why Frontier Estates was denied. Like, why did we not catch, so this thing has come back to us and come back and come back. Why did we not catch why are we just hearing from the fire chief now, I guess, is part of my question.
We had made a determination in 2018 that that short entrance of 160 feet from the public from Trapper's Loop in was not a problem, and that was fine. They did not need a secondary access. The week of the hearing, it was brought to our attention that actually there was a platted emergency access at the corner of Trapper's Point on the southeast corner, and that it was never constructed and not in place. When the fire chief heard that, he said, oh, wait, well, we should have that in place. We should have that in place now. And so he changed his recommendation, and based on the fire chief's recommendation that we add that second access point in. He subsequently sent me a letter. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I still have to talk to the county attorney. But he sent the planning department a letter that said that secondary access needs to be put in.
Why is, so secondary access for Trapper's Point?
For Trapper's Point.
That has nothing to do with Frontier Estates.
But he needs a second access. That's the problem. And what sucks for him is he literally found out at 6 p.m.
It was not.
He knew the day before.
Oh, did he know the day before? He didn't have time to do anything about it.
Why wasn't that an issue the whole time we've been looking at this thing then? Because the secondary access.
Because we initially made the determination that small, we didn't know about it. We didn't know it was on that plat, and because it was never constructed. So since 1997, when that plat was approved, we had no idea that there was supposed to be an emergency access, secondary one. I have always operated under the assumption that they approved it with the one access point. And so I said...
And it said they put a house in it.
No, they just landscaped.
Is it landscaped?
It's between two homes.
Yeah, between.
Yeah, so who's going to put that in then?
There's a power pole. There's a main power source.
So does he have to put it in for Trapper's Point? Take that landscaping out? And
Frontier Estates needs to get a secondary access. They have other options.
They can go out.
What are their options?
Warner. Warner's.
Take them up. Are they going to let them do that?
I don't know.
I know they have talked.
I felt like we were on board to pass it.
That was the plan for that area that you guys said you couldn't do the extension of your water property. That was the intention, was to extend the road into the water property.
Yes, but we don't know when. And the when is now.
Yeah,
the fire chief said...
Trapper's Point has to...
Before it's developed.
Says who?
Says the fire marshal. Says the plat. We have a plat that says there's an emergency access.
I know, but it hasn't been done. So what happens if they don't do it?
He doesn't go forward.
Well, he's going to put his own in, it sounds like.
Yes. You're talking about Trapper's Point.
Trapper's Point. The fire marshal says put it in. They're not going
to
put it in.
So I said to the county attorney about how we're going to get that in place.
But if he put
the fire marshal has directed us to get it done.
But if Kirk Smith puts it in, then they have a secondary access.
Then they don't need that other one.
Would they let him? They don't want his...
No, but through Warner, they don't...
It'll all be public roads.
They don't have it.
Yeah, it'll all be public roads at that point. So if he puts in the 10 lots and builds that secondary access through the Warner... The Warner's, right? Through the Warner's land, they now have secondary access. And it'll all be
they
public
benefit
roads at that
well,
point.
And it only has to be... It doesn't have to be paved permanent. It just has to be an all-weather...
Has to have the all-weather whole set of
fences. Until the permanent one goes in.
So could Kurt put in the one that's supposed to be in Trapper's Point and be done?
That would solve his problem.
Yeah.
But it's, well,
he'd have to
solve his problem, but it wasn't really his problem to begin with.
Trapper's Point has a problem whether or not Frontier State
right.
moves forward or not. That needs to be addressed at Trapper's Point.
Yeah. So he could do it, but he is planning on going through Warner's, maybe.
I don't know what his plans are. He is not told us anything.
Why didn't it get put on as a condition?
The Planning Commission did not feel that it was appropriate. It was too significant of an issue.
Who developed Fox Point?
Fox Point or Trapper?
Whichever one that Kirk's wants to go through.
Trapper's Point.
Trapper's Point, Parks. So it was the Smith family that developed that should have been put in place, in my opinion.
It was platted. I remember when it came through, and it was platted, and they discussed it. It just that never was physically put in.
Yeah. It was there, and then they put stuff over it.
Then they landscaped it, the lot owners on either side, and no one said anything.
Sorry, that's just hearsay.
Well, they had the power station there and light poles. It was just
yeah,
like
I know. It was not.
The gutters. Right
it
there.
Was not well thought out, but it was there. I remember the discussion.
So is he gonna wait and get it fixed before he goes to county council?
I don't know. Right now we're gonna put it on the county commission.
Commission.
Yeah. I'm just saying it for my own sake.
I know.
We're gonna put it on the county commission.
Okay, I was just curious.
I think I've talked enough about the general plan. I'll not start another lecture on that.
You what?
But the September 16th is the general plan meeting.
What day is that?
Thursday.
Thursday, the 16th.
Thank you.
But we do need community input. Tell your friends, come look at this stuff. Is it right? Is it the right direction? If the community doesn't weigh in, it's not as strong a document.
By the way, I've had other people ask me, and I mean...
And it's all online. It's all on that website.
Because they want to get their land in the future land use thing is going from agricultural to, you know, RR or smaller. Denser, I guess.
That's why it's going to take a while. You want to wait with comments.
Yeah.
And the... Yeah, but county, it's at 5:30. The county portion's at 5:30. The city's is at 7.
Yeah, but that would be September 16th that they showed up to. Okay, I'll let them know.
And get their input.
Yep.
It's in the city.
You doing a caravel net on me over here?
No,
okay.
Oh, so it's not in here.
No, it's in the city chambers,
at
council
there,
chambers.
Audio visual because it will be online as well.
They got.
So we need to
they
be
got
there
nice
at 5:30
tech.
On the 16th.
They got real nice tech. They used their COVID money. They have really nice tech.
We didn't have any COVID money 20 years ago.
We did a few months ago.
Not even any H1N1
money.
So when our meetings are usually the 2nd and 4th.
Uh-huh.
So we're doing the 9th, the 16th for that thing and the 23rd.
Yeah, they'll be.
I will say Wasatch Peaks has submitted their preliminary plat for 44 lots. They got their concept approved for 139. In the development agreement, they're allowed to modify that going forward, so it's okay that way. But they would like to take you guys up on site and let you look at it and where they're proposing to put things in. They're currently surveying the lot corners and roads, so there'll be something to look at. But if there's some time, we'll be reaching out to you to try and schedule.
Before snow flies, first. Please.
What?
I said before snow flies.
Before snow flies, okay.
So we can enjoy the day.
It should be really nice up there. Just
bring your elk tag.
Yep.
Okay. Two.
Or turkey tags.
That's the only way I'd go get an elk off of that property.
Sorry,
no, they're on us now.
You want to ask them?
Also on Wasatch Peaks, and I sent you guys the email on the helicopters, but that should start in a couple weeks. All of the forms, the concrete up for the ski lift towers.
Were the road issues ever addressed and taken care of? Remember that? I remember there was a member of the community came in and complained about.
So the Peterson Creek Road, yes. They finally stopped using that road, got the bridge in across the canal. So it's been open for several months. They repaved and did a 2-inch layer on top of the Peterson Creek Road. So I think it's much, much better than it was.
Okay.
Any other business? That's any questions?
Yeah, I'm always curious about Ravala. Have they done anything?
Oh,
yes, they've submitted a plat for 34 lots, preliminary plat. Their development agreement allows them to go directly to preliminary plat. 31 lots.
Yeah. What's their total now? 120, something like that.
They have entitlements for
115. They're only going to do 31.
Well, they're doing 31, but lot 31 is
large. It's huge.
Well, 30's got the golf course on it, but 31 is a very large area that they could come back and recertify later.
Okay.
Okay.
I have one more question then.
Go ahead.
Floyd Hatch's property, is there anything done with that? What's the latest on?
I haven't heard anything about
East
it.
Canyon?
Yeah. Have you ever heard anything?
The only thing we know is they're remodeling the existing home that's there. That and the garage.
They haven't talked about any more development there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll just thank you.
Whose property?
It's Floyd Hatch's. You remember?
Oh yeah.
Easy
Trench.
If you remember that.
Yep. Been sold a couple times.
Yep.
Has it since he owned it? Oh, it is. I didn't know.
Yep. She got on the naughty list. Okay. So if we're ready for approval of the minutes, have corrections been given?
Yes.
They have. Right. So moved.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Member Wilson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
Oh.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor.
Thank you.
Aye. I thought you'd jump right in, though. If Shane's not going to be here.
I had a brain fart.
Yeah.